Ramping up your business? The time is near. You've given it heart. Now get it in gear. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
I'm Richard Gearhart, founder of Gearhart Law, a full-service intellectual property law firm specializing in patents, trademarks, and copyrights.
And I'm Elizabeth Gearhart, not an attorney, but I do marketing for Gearhart Law, and I have my own startups and podcasts.
Are you one of the 2 in 5 Americans wanting to start your own business or already a business owner? Stay tuned. This show is about starting and growing your business. Welcome to Passage to Profit, the road to entrepreneurship, where we learn why and how ordinary people just like you started and grew their businesses, and we also talk about the intellectual property that helps protect your innovations.
And now I'm going to pass the mic, so to speak, to Kenya Gibson so she can introduce our next guest.
Really excited to have in studio with us Mr. Robert Simon. We have a mutual contact, right, who connected us, and I was so happy to meet you at the Winter Show,
which is the premier art and antique and jewelry exhibition in New York. It takes place in January and is an international destination, basically, for collectors and museums. Unfortunately for some people, it comes usually in the worst week of weather in New York, but it's wonderful to get in out of the cold and see some beautiful things.
And you had a beautiful exhibit there yourself.
Yeah, thank you. We did. We had an exhibition of a mixture of old master paintings, American paintings, some highlighting some overlooked areas in the collecting field that are particularly sought after by both museums and collectors today. And that included some works depicting mixed race people and also works created by mixed race Americans for the most part. That was kind of a complement to the usual, I should say, European old master paintings that are my usual focus.
That's amazing. You had a painting there that was very interesting. It was a profile of a young man who was of mixed race that I connected with.
We had a couple of things. One was a portrait of someone from a free man of color from New Orleans from about 1840. So this is before the Civil War, when there's a much more liberal society in New Orleans. And the artist was a mixed race painter who then depicted a very distinguished looking young man who is there in New Orleans. The artist is named Julian Hudson, a very rare artist. And then we also had some silhouettes, which were done by an artist named Moses Williams, who was born enslaved into the household of the Charles Wilson Peale, a great American painter, but who was manumitted, became a member of the family, and was the primary maker of silhouettes at the Peale Museum, which was established by Charles Wilson Peale in Philadelphia. So this is at the very, very beginning of the 19th century.
So how long have you been an art dealer, and how did you get started?
Well, I mean, I think a little different from the entrepreneurs that you speak to, whatever. My entrepreneurial beginning as a separate, my own business began when I was 45. Things began for me as a student in college, then in graduate school, studying art history. I have a doctorate in art history. I taught briefly. We worked at the Metropolitan Museum as a research fellow. I worked as an appraiser. I've done a lot of adjacent jobs in the art world. I then worked for some art dealers before. And I should say also, I worked in summers and also for a while, for a year or two, as a traveling salesman. One thing I think I can impart to the potential entrepreneurs out there is that doing a lot of different things can often leave you with no real direction in your life. But for me, I felt that everything that I did in some way contributed to what I'm doing today and also gave me enough confidence. At one point, it took, you know, I'm not a 20-year-old entrepreneur, but a 45-year-old one, to go out on my own and start doing what I was doing for myself. Part of my skill set is doing research, and that's something that I've taken from my time in college and graduate school. But also, as much as I didn't really enjoy being a traveling salesman, I was selling eyeglass frames, which is I didn't have any particular sympathy for, the experience of dealing with people, of traveling, of transacting in that way, is something that I've been able to put into my business for the last 25 years. One of the things that I do basically in my work is study paintings that are anonymous. I mean, most paintings from the period before 1800 are not signed. Who they're by and their worth and their importance is something that one has to study and one has to elicit from a combination of documents sometimes, from what they look like, from the opinions of other scholars, from books and the like. And for the most part, this has been my career doing it, but with artists that are pretty obscure. And many of them from the Italian Renaissance and Baroque periods, and they're artists I could mention, and I don't think many of your listeners would have heard of them, but nonetheless, they're of particular interest. And taking an anonymous, say, religious picture and giving it a name does give it a certain historical mm-hmm. context and increases the value.
And it takes a lot of research to do that.
It takes a lot of research, and it takes even more than a lot of looking. So one thing that I do always is travel, go to museums, look at paintings. I have a very good visual memory. Filing that all away is sort of the key to recognizing. It's a little bit, if you think of it, when Richard calls you on the telephone, you don't have to ask him who it is. You know from his voice. And if you try to define what it is, whether it's the timbre, his language, you know, it's very hard to put your finger on exactly what it is that tells you it's him or your best friend or anyone else. And recognizing the authorship of paintings is a little bit like that. It's a combination of skills. Sometimes it's technical, sometimes it's scientific, a little bit, but it's mostly visual. So I was talking about minor artists, but I was very fortunate, and I think there is a certain bit of luck involved, to have discovered a painting that was in an auction in New Orleans. This is about in the year 2005. Not quite fully a question of luck, because I recognized in the auction catalog that it related to a lost painting by Leonardo da Vinci. And with a colleague, we decided to bid on the picture. I had done some research about the picture before the auction, but it was without the expectation that it could turn out to be the lost original painting. Often paintings from this period, especially by famous artists like Leonardo da Vinci, were copied and emulated. And these are artists that, like Leonardo, who had many students that would indeed look at the painting and try to imitate it. So that's the beginning of it. The painting we purchased for the princely sum of $1,175. But then followed 8 years of sweat and research, in which I worked pretty much a little bit, maybe an hour every night, but also consulting with experts, having, most importantly, working with a painting conservator who very delicately treated the painting, removing over paint and the like. My part was mostly establishing its history until it was exhibited at the National Gallery in London and accepted by scholars, not 100% in the world, but pretty much 99% as the lost painting by Leonardo.
That's amazing.
And sold for how much?
So the sale price, indeed, I mean, we sold it in the year 2013, and then the purchaser of the painting, the ultimate purchaser of the painting, put it up for auction in 2017. And it brought $450 million. So this is the highest highest price of a work of art. So
that was from an estate sale, right?
Yes, exactly.
So what is the lesson to be learned here?
The lesson is consult a professional. Look, don't take anything for granted, especially when it's in a field you don't know anything about. I mean, for example, if I inherited some jewelry, well, I know somebody now to whom to go to, but it's not something that I have the expertise to do. And I think one of the problems that people have generally is that if you're successful in one field, you kind of presume that you have the knowledge that it extends to every other field. That's a mistake I think people make. So you have to know your expertise and know your limitations. Even in what I do today, the collegiality and the shared expertise that I have with people in my field and people that are in allied fields is really what sustains me and makes my business function well. For example, I collaborate all the time with painting conservators, but I don't ever attempt to clean a painting myself.
God, no. Could you imagine?
And there are specialists in scholarship in different fields, and one has to recognize that their expertise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We were talking a little bit about building generational wealth via art. Mm-hmm. I had mentioned to you, like, Jay-Z, like, he talks a lot of times about, like, investing in certain pieces and how over a period of time they grow in value. So could you talk to our listeners a little bit about how that is an option?
Well, sure. I mean, basically, in my field, which is more of the older art, there's kind of a track record of values of paintings over years, sometimes over centuries. And so in my field, the old master, in the field of 19th century paintings, there's kind of a steady growth and a steady amount of, but nothing hyperbolic. In contemporary art, and I think that's more what Jay-Z is collecting, things can go boom. I mean, within a couple of years, a young artist can be taken up by the art establishment, collected, and these things could go up with tremendous value. The downside of that is that there's no track record. So I'm hoping for his sake and the sake of his family in the future that it will maintain its value and its interest. There's a certain, I guess my only warning to him, if I ever asked my opinion, would just be that the desire for what is really new and the latest can also work against one, because there's always going to be more new, more contemporary. But for those people who collect art, I always encourage people not to look at it as an investment first, but to look at it as something that you love and that you're interested in and that you get a real response from. But if you collect well, and certainly if one is, again, in another field, having good advice is very important.
Yeah.
In terms of the value and not paying too much for something, or you know, and knowing, having that information, because it can be a very tricky field.
I got to get my art game up. I have one oil painting, and it's from Pier One Imports. It's a beautiful painting.
I do want to ask. I do.
Well, you've got a friend now.
I do have to ask about one thing before we wrap up. I had never seen these before till I went on your website. Which, what is your website?
It's robertsimon.com.
That's pretty tough. Yeah. So, Gogot.
You've got it.
Unbelievable. I've never even known those existed, and I guess they're very rare and they're expensive, but you have some to sell, right?
Yeah, though this is something, this is not a painting. This is not done by the hand of man. These are geological concretions. They'll make it out of silica, and they're made 300,000 years ago underground in sands in near Fontainebleau in France. And they're the most abstract forms. They're just items of spectacular beauty. And I came across them fairly recently. Actually, it was in the Natural History Museum in London. I looked at this thing. I go, what is that? Did some checking, and found out where I could find some, and brought a few to America. And I've sold a couple at the winter show where Kenya had seen my display, but also in my gallery I have a couple. They are a little bit like Rorschach tests in 3D, each one is quite different, and they're formed from the mixture underground of hot and cold water swirling around and then forming an abstract sculpture. It's something very different from what I normally work with, but as I find it at them absolutely fascinating.
So I am going to have to come to your gallery. Where is your gallery?
My gallery is on 80th Street near the Metropolitan Museum, 22 East 80th Street in New York. You're most welcome, and any of your listeners are as well.
Thank you. Yeah.
Passage to Profit is a nationally syndicated radio show appearing in 31 markets across the United States. Thank you to the P2P team, our producer Noah Fleischman, and our program coordinators Alicia Morrissey and Rissikat Busari. Look for our podcast tomorrow anywhere you get your podcasts. Our podcast is ranked in the top 3% globally. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, X,
and on our YouTube channel. And remember, while the information on this program is believed to be correct, never take a legal step without checking with your legal professional first. Gearhart Law is here for your patent, trademark, and copyright needs. You can find us at gearhartlaw.com and contact us for a free consultation. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.